Good morning, it's August 24th, 2025, in the year of our Lord, and the title for my message is The More Excellent Way. And my first reading of Scripture comes from Psalm 115, verses 1 through 8. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, "Where is their God?" Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. Second reading comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, and then I'm going to skip down to verses 27 through 31. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that while you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. You know, it is interesting to note that in modern society, a modern society that is technologically adept and advanced, there is this continuous phrase, this continuous notion or idea that we, you and I, and our technology must improve. Now, this facet is true in all aspects of life, and it is also true in most industries. Now, that mindset, though, has carried over from the workplace into the home, into our personal life as well. You know, in the business world, there's a few teaching tools that are used to promote continuous improvement. One is Six Sigma, which many people are familiar with. Six Sigma is a process improvement methodology that aims to minimize and cut back the amount of variation within the end product that is being manufactured. The goal is efficiency and greater profit for the manufacturer. Then there's another methodology called TQM. That stands for Total Quality Management. And that is customer focused. And it involves continuous improvement over time. And that would include the supply chain management and customer satisfaction projects and surveys. Then there's lean manufacturing, based upon five principles that I am simply not going to bore you with. If you want to learn about them, go online and look up lean manufacturing. Then there's Kaizen. Kaizen is a continuous improvement model by the Japanese, and it states that life should be continuously improved in order to be more satisfying and more fulfilling. There's another one called Plan, Do, Check. Really, it's a quality control process improvement. Plan, do, check, then act. There's another methodology here called five whys analysis. Why did this happen? And then you repeat it until you get to the root of the problem. And lastly, that I'm going to share in this message is business process management. You analyze and improve business processes from start to finish. There is certainly a lot of redundancy in those methodologies in the business world. Now, in the personal world, we are constantly being sold a bill of goods that we need to work on ourselves and we need to improve ourselves. And in order to do that, you need to have concrete, tangible goals. From weight loss programs that emphasize Jenny Craig to Ozempic, the shortcut way to lose weight. There's also gym memberships. You can also improve your mental and your emotional aspect, and that's through book clubs for mental stimulation and social interaction. Then certainly you can pay to go to see professionals, and that would be psychologists and other mental health counselors, maybe even involved psychiatrists. So in our personal life, there are a variety of ways to improve ourselves. So when you look at it in its totality, whether from the business world to personal health, there is the stated need and goal to improve ourselves in life. I think most of us would say that mindset within reason, that's my qualifier, that's my caveat, is good to have in order to keep your business open and thriving and employing people, and in order for people to have a healthy personal life, both physically, mentally, and spiritually. From this morning's reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, verse 31 really stands out. And Paul said the following, "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." You see, chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians sets the stage for the world-famous love chapter known as chapter 13. That chapter is often read at various times at wedding ceremonies by clergy or by the couples. So when you read chapter 13 in its chronological development in the letter to the Corinthian church, you understand that chapter 12, in its right context, sets the precedent for chapter 13. And what Paul the Apostle taught the Corinthian church, he continues to churches today as well. So what is a more excellent way? And how can a Christian live this way in their life? Now some of you might be even asking, well, is that relevant for the local church? Is that relevant for you and I? Well, Paul writes how God in his sovereignty gave spiritual gifts to the church. Why? For its edification and for its empowerment, all for the kingdom of God. Let me reread again Paul's letter to the Corinthian church from these verses I've already touched upon. "Now you are the body of Christ, members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" The answer to all those rhetorical questions is no. Now, we are right to say that the spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit. However, we miss the mark when we think of them in terms of either giftedness, in other words, our human ability to do things skillfully and well, or of a supernatural novelty, such as speaking in tongues, or having the gift of healing, or to receive straight messages from God. in order to convey them to others. You see, spiritual gifts from God are meant to be used for Christ in the building up and edifying His body, which is the church. Many Corinthian Christians earnestly desired these gifts from God, but the problem came about when they desired the more prominent, showy gifts for primarily personal and possibly even selfish reasons. And in the eyes of God, that is wrong, because God gives gifts to the church according to His wisdom and to the need. So let's break it down on a very practical level for many of us. Have you ever been around someone who wants to be the center of attention? They love the limelight. They love it when people focus on them. And they are concerned about what they have to say or what they think on a given matter. Oftentimes, these same individuals couldn't care less what other people think and what they have to say. So if you've been around people with that mindset, well, we know how troubling that can be. And at some point you say, I got to get away. But if you're around people who have been given gifts from God for specific reasons and purposes, and they have their spirit in check, well, then they are wonderful people to be around. The problem, though, is this when it comes to the church. God gives specific gifts, and God gives individuals specific talents for the purpose of building up the kingdom of God, for the purpose of edifying and strengthening the local church. I'm going to share a story with you that I read from the Detroit Press. It's a story that illustrates this point about using your gifts. The story is about Bill Cosby. And he says the following. Bill Cosby grew up poor, and Bill Cosby's mother, more importantly, grew up poor. And as a result of Bill Cosby's mother not having any resources or any type of wealth, and that would include what we would call modern conveniences, she got accustomed to doing things the hard way. And when her children were old enough to get jobs, they often gave their mother appliances as Christmas gifts in order to make her life easier. But their mother, in essence, refused to use them. Bill Cosby, in giving this interview to the Detroit Press, especially remembered that after a while, his mother had 3 brand new toasters still in their boxes on top of her refrigerator. She never took them out. She never used them. And when it was breakfast, instead of putting toast in a toaster or bread in a toaster, she would put them into the oven to broil them. She did it the old-fashioned way. Her sons would protest and say, Mom, we've given you 3 new toasters. But she would always say, leave them on the refrigerator. I'm used to doing it the old way. Whether it's the old way or my way, from Frank Sinatra, the Apostle Paul would remind us all that there is a more excellent way to live life as a Christian. You know, John Wesley delivered a powerful sermon on this very topic. And he cited again and again in his message, verse 31, a more excellent way. Like the Apostle Paul, he too encouraged and exhorted Christians to covet both the ordinary gifts of the Spirit along with the extraordinary gifts of the Holy Spirit as well. For him, that being John Wesley, a more excellent way was the way of love. And what that simply means is this: loving all people for God's sake. Doing so, having a humble, gentle, patient demeanor. And that really is the focus of the love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So without all of this, without all this eloquence and knowledge and faith and works and also suffering, none of it means a hill of beans in God's sight unless we do it with love. Because without the way of love, it will not profit us. It will not help us if we want to improve our life. You see, John Wesley goes on to delineate how we may live a more excellent way for Christ in very practical ways. John Wesley was of the mindset of that old wisdom saying, early to bed, early to rise. He said a healthy man should sleep 6 to 7 hours a night, and a healthy woman should receive 7 to 8 hours of sleep every night. He also said, when it comes to prayer and having a devotional life, your prayer and your devotional life should reflect your outward and your inner state of mind, whether being peaceful and prosperous or facing adversity and trouble. If things are going well, then give God the praise. Thank Him for all of your blessings. And if things are hard and difficult and you are struggling, then have a sense of confession and sorrow. He also talked about those who are employed, those who are working. He says, don't just work for things that are temporal. He said, work for eternity. And if you work for eternity, whether at a secular job, you need to remember that you ought to be honest. You ought to be generous. You ought to be merciful. And that you should pursue the blessings of heaven. And that in turn be a blessing to others. He also talked about eating and drinking. Eat and drink with a sense of gratitude for what you have. Not in excess. And he went on to say that thankfulness or gratitude is the spice and sauce we need when it comes to eating and drinking. We don't necessarily have to have the most expensive cut of meats or the most choicest of wine or any other delicacy. Be grateful for what you have, and out of gratitude, that will add spice and sauce to the food and drink that you consume. He went on to say that conversations that are good and profitable for the hearers are the way to go, are the way to communicate. Not conversations that are profane, immodest, or untrue. And that certainly means in the body of Christ, no gossiping and backbiting. He went on to say further that in this life, that we should enjoy diversions and activities that are not barbaric or brutal, much less risque or embarrassing to your conscience and your morals. Good diversions could be going outdoors. It could be tending land and property if you own it. Or it could be tending to the souls of others in need, such as visitation, going to those who are shut-ins, going to visit those who are sick and might need help and assistance. Maybe even going to visit those who are imprisoned. And lastly, John Wesley says, true stewardship entails not only what we would call basic tithing, but the motto and practice for those who give comes from the very lips of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And that is Paul the Apostle quoting Jesus in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 35. A more excellent way. May God bless your hearing and doing as you strive to live out a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.